Snack Bar Games Podcast. Welcome to Snack Bar Games Podcast, episode 215. I'm Graham, and this episode I'm joined by Matt, Sean, Andrew, and Chris Ingersoll is joining us this week to talk more about Zelda.
Yeah.
How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, so how was your Thanksgiving?
Uneventful.
Yeah.
Played Skyrim.
Yeah, I played Saints Row all day. And then I ate way too much. I had two desserts, and each of those desserts was three desserts.
That sounds like six desserts.
That's the best kind.
Pretty good. But it was two plates, therefore it was two desserts.
Can I eat an entire pumpkin pie?
Jeez. Yeah.
I saw the Muppets. It was like 2 days after Thanksgiving, but
that happens.
That's really good. They're so good. We should do a whole Muppets podcast. Because they mention video games in the movie. So,
how so? Related.
There's an 80s robot who makes a lot of 80s jokes, and I'm pretty sure he says something about video games. And his name is 80s Robot, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
he might be my favorite Muppet now. He's at least my favorite new Muppet.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing.
Yeah, he takes care of Kermit's house. He rolls around and says the 80s stuff, and he plays 80s music all the time.
He delivers a tray of Tab and New Coke.
Yeah. Not now, 80s Robot. 80s Robot, not now. Oh, that was a good movie. You guys should go see it.
Yeah. Well, that's the plan for tomorrow. I spent all day watching every Harry Potter movie yesterday.
Nice. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was a 20-hour marathon, but it took all day.
I still have not seen past the fourth one, I think.
Speaking of, when it was in theaters.
That's when they start getting good.
I know, I've heard it a lot.
Speaking of a movie marathon, Matt, you've been doing some crazy stuff.
Are you talking about our Mystery Science Theater marathon?
Yeah.
Yes. I hang out in this live stream channel where we show stuff semi-legally sometimes. And one tradition we do, I've been there for a few years, one tradition we do is every Thanksgiving for 4 days straight, we show Mystery Science Theater 3000. Because we're all big nerds. And yeah, every second I'm home during that 4 days, I have Mystery Science Theater playing. It's what I fall asleep to. It's what I wake up to. It's comforting because, you know, I can think about how it's one of those. It's much like the Muppets, where I was a kid and it was on TV and I watched. I didn't quite understand all of it, but I knew it was awesome and it had puppets on it. And as I got older, I started to understand it more and appreciate it. And now, it's one of the things mostly responsible for developing my sense of humor. It's like Mr. Science Theater, Kids in the Hall, and the Muppets, really.
This explains everything.
Blame them. Yep.
Does go a long way.
All that money I paid for improv classes does not compare to all the hours I spent watching the Muppets and Kids in the Hall and Mr. Science Theater.
All right. So let's go ahead and get to the news. Sean, what is going on in the gaming world when everyone was away eating turkey?
Well, the most controversial thing is that the I Am Alive producer said it is not coming to PC after all due to piracy. Mm-hmm. And that's just another thing that Ubisoft is doing to the PC gamers, I guess.
Yeah, you know, with all the issues Ubisoft games have had on PC, it may be for the best for them to just not release them on the PC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Considering they're terrible DRM policies.
I mean, they're late. They're usually really buggy. They have DRM issues. Just don't.
Don't bother us with it.
Yeah. Yep. What's going on
that? By the way, an amendment to that story. The creative director actually just went back today on his comment and saying that a PC release is still possible.
Yes.
So there's that.
He's blaming it on translation errors.
Yeah.
From French?
In better news, Rayman 3 is getting an HD remake and coming to Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network.
Rayman?
Rayman 3.
Skyrim.
Raymond. Everybody loves Raymond.
I've never played these games.
You should play.
I never played the third one.
Yeah, I've never played the third one.
Is the third one good?
I haven't
played the second one. Andrew.
I've actually never played the third one either.
Yeah.
Am I the only one here who's played that game?
They're all on good old games. You can get all three of them on there.
Yeah, well, I mean, one and two are, you know, a lot of people played one and two. Three is usually overlooked because it was then. Because it's basically, it's kind of Rayman 2 again.
It was also the time that it came out, too.
Yeah.
It came out when there were a few platformers left, but those platformers were edgy and cool, Jack and Daxter and Ratchet and Clank with guns and stuff. But it was everyone was playing Driver and Hitman and Max Payne and Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. No, it's one of those things you got to keep in mind when you think about where the Rayman series went, introducing the Rabbids, kind of going crazy. It's hard to blame them when, you know, Hoodlum Havoc, no one really played that game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm hoping people actually get to play that now. It's nice to see it getting an HD remake. 2's been remade to death.
Yeah, not in HD, though.
You know, that's true. Right.
Yeah. I play an HD remake of 2. I actually haven't played a single remake of 2. Last time I played 2 was on my PS1 back when I got it brand new when it came with a watch.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was the PS1 that watch. Version. Then there was the upgraded N64 version, and then that got ported to the Dreamcast. And then the Dreamcast ported to the PS2.
Wait, the Dreamcast version was a port of the N64 version?
Yes.
That's weird, because people call the Dreamcast one the best one.
Well, Dreamcast one is the best one.
It's a high-res version of the N64 game, basically.
Oh.
But, I mean, yeah, it got ported, then ported, then ported. And,
to the DS and 2. That watch that I had that came with Rayman 2, it was like the band was clear and the watch was clear and the arms were his hands. And since he doesn't have arms, he has his hands. The hands floated around the face of the watch.
That's pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. It got really dirty because it was clear. And my wrist was dirty because I was a dirty kid.
Okay.
That's the best part of the game. That's my most memorable part of the game.
Okay, and we also had one just breaking news.
Breaking.
Yoshinori Posse apparently told a Spanish game website that Type O is being localized for the U.S. and Europe as we speak.
Nice.
Who said that?
The Final Fantasy series producer.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool. I want to play that game.
Do we know if it's going to be an actual retail release? Or are they going to go digital only?
I assume it'll be digital only because no one likes to release 2 UMD PSP games here. But
which one is that? Is it the one that the demo came out a few months ago on the Japanese PSN?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or it's in like a school? Okay, I played the demo. That game is really cool. I'm going to play it.
Well, you can now.
Well, so, not now.
But, well, apparently.
Soon. Well, you can play it now if you know Japanese.
Yeah.
You can play it now if you don't know Japanese. You just want to understand what's going on.
Yeah. I got the gist of it. It was like it was a school, and there were different sections of the school, and the different characters you played had different powers based on what section of the school they were in.
Are you sure you weren't playing Persona?
Yes, yeah, and then you shoot yourself in the head, and a monster comes out of you.
Yep.
Sexual undertones.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically every JRPG turned into Persona after Persona.
And I'm okay with that.
Kind of crazy. Well, like
either
it didn't do great things for... Didn't do great things for the Valkyria Chronicles series, but it's all right. At least there's Valkyria Chronicles 3.
That you know who else didn't do great things for the Valkyria Chronicles series? Sega.
Sega?
Yep.
Oh.
I ain't played Zelda, guys. I'm running around in Zelda.
All right. So on that note, let's move on to what we've been playing. Now, we'll be talking about Zelda a little later, but...
there are other games but Zelda?
There are. Andrew, we'll start with you.
You people in your non-Nintendo systems.
Guys, I named my character Link.
Whoa. Whoa.
That's a pretty cool name.
Slow down there. Anyway, okay, so I've actually, besides Zelda and Skyrim, I've actually been playing a game that I know Sean has reviewed, and that is Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary. So we can talk about that, and it's an HD remake of Halo, and do you like Halo? Yes, then this is the game for you.
Yeah, I heard that the pistol is good again.
The pistol is one of the best video game weapons.
That's
ever.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, as I understand it, the multiplayer is just all built on Reach, but as I understand it, the campaign, it's not running on any of the newer engines as much as it's just it's running on the old engine. They just upgraded the graphics.
It's running on the old engine, yeah.
It's kind of crazy. But I guess, like, it will be, like, you know, point-to-point perfect because it is the old game. A lot like... Actually, that reminds me of the Secret of Monkey Island remake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which I've been playing this week.
Which you can switch between the graphics at the same... Because it's just that old engine with high res.
Mm-hmm. I have to say something, like, the first Halo, that game is ugly as sin now.
Yeah.
It's just, so, like... It's so weird switching between, like, this... Like, Halo Anniversary is just so much brighter. So when there are times when I just switch back when there's a section that's well-lit, and I'm like, I don't remember this looking like this. I switch back, and it's like, oh, I actually have to use this flashlight thing I have now. No wonder. So, yeah, it looks great, though. The remake is great. It's Halo 1 all over again. So take that and enjoy it if you enjoyed Halo 1. But if you didn't enjoy Halo 1 or you just don't like Halo, then this probably won't change your mind.
Yeah, but I didn't get to play the co-op as much as you did, Andrew. What do you think of the online co-op?
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing. The online co-op is the thing I was waiting for, because I love playing through Halo 1's campaign with a friend, but it's kind of broken. Like, the online co-op is kind of broken. It functions, but if you're not hosting the game, there's probably at least a 60 to 70% chance that you'll experience some moderately bad to very bad input lag, as in, you know, you move and then your character moves a second later. And in a game like Halo, it's kind of messes with you completely. And in general, it's just very laggy. And there are some smooth moments, but like near the end when the flood starts showing up, there's tons of enemies on screen. It'll just slow down to a crawl, to the point where you'll fire a bullet and then you'll see the enemy get hit, and then it'll just be like photos in front of you, just flashing before you, and it's so ridiculous at times. So that is a huge letdown. I mean, the campaign itself is still, you know, pretty good, but it's the one thing I was really looking forward to, and that really, really bummed me out.
Yeah, my big problem with it was, maybe it's just because I haven't played the Halo games in a while, but it seemed like the vehicle controls were sorely out of date, and I wish they would have made those too.
Haven't they made the vehicle controls better in the other games? Because I haven't played many of the later games in the series.
Yes. So this one, you can't turn unless you turn the camera.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The others, I could be remembering wrong, but the others that I've played, you could turn it any direction you wanted to.
That's kind of a pain. Like, going if you're going back from this, like from Reach to this, or just from Halo 3 to this, it might be take a little time to readjust.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think nostalgia goggles always come into play with remakes like that. It's just like, oh, this game isn't as good. Well, it was never that good.
Well, I would say it's still a pretty good game.
Yeah, I mean, still good. I'm just, you know.
Yeah, I know.
The issues but you have with it, it's like, why didn't you have those issues before?
Yeah, maybe I did, and I just never bothered me as much, because it was like, oh, this experience is kind of brand new almost.
I will say this, that gameplay, I think, that's probably the oldest FPS that still really holds up.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Once you go back, you know, behind that to, like,
Goldeneye,
Shudder.
Perfect Dark on the 360 was okay, the original, that is.
Oh, okay.
That held up okay.
Did they update the controls for that one?
Yes.
Okay.
But still kind of not. It's kind of hard to explain. It's one of those things you have to play to understand. But the controls are better, but they still are kind of archaic. But at the same time, it's still a pretty decent game. Not like GoldenEye. GoldenEye is just unplayable now.
Yeah.
But yeah, Halo still a good game.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say I actually haven't had a chance to try any of the multiplayer stuff, but it's just Reach multiplayer, so.
Yeah, it has the original six maps, but. Yeah. Which is nice, but when you buy it new, you get a download code to use those maps in Reach anyway. So you might as well play in Reach if you have it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're gonna play this for the campaign and then put it back on the shelf and then pop Reach back in and just play those maps in Reach, and it's, you know, the same experience.
Unless you want the powerful pistol.
I don't think you get the pistol and if you play
you do play the Halo Classic. They have a playlist called Classic.
Which gives
you the old weapons.
Is that not available for Reach?
I don't know. I haven't played Reach.
Okay.
What I was going to say is that after playing Perfect Dark and GoldenEye back on with my friends in high school, when Halo first came out, I reverted the controls to Perfect Dark and GoldenEye controls for the longest time. I did not like the whole two stick strafing. I can't do that now. but for about 2 or 3 years, that's the only way I would play Halo.
I can't even imagine. Okay, so Matt, I saw you tweeting a lot about Saints Row the Third.
Awesome.
You're going to talk about Saints Row the Third now.
Saints Row opens with you playing as your... You haven't made the character yet, you're just as a guy. Who I guess it's the same character, but you haven't. It's weird that they don't make you make your character at the beginning. You finish first mission, then you make your character. So you look different for the whole first mission. But it opens with you robbing a bank with the accompaniment of an actor who is studying to play Johnny Gat in the film based on the Third Street Saints, which is your gang throughout the Saints Row series. And so it's like a ride-along where he's helping them rob a bank as research. And their disguise for this bank are giant mascot heads of Johnny Gat's face, including Johnny Gat, who is wearing a mascot face of his own head. And then you rob the bank, and then it's this incredible gunfight. We're just running around, and everyone's got guns, and you're shooting at people. And there's no consequences to anything, which is awesome, because that always bothers me in games. Because you don't feel it's not like in GTA 4 where you're trying to be this, nice guy, immigrant, who's, like, trying to just have a regular life and just have the American dream. But sometimes he's got to kill someone, and you feel bad for him. But then in between missions, he's killing thousands of people. In this game, no one gives a fuck. Like, it's fine. and that's what I like about it. And then you they find the safe, and they have to blow up the floor above the safe so a helicopter can come in and pick up the safe and fly away with it. And then you fight helicopters while you're riding on the safe, which is suspended from a helicopter. I played 5 hours of that game, and it was like I did everything cool that's ever been in the entire Grand Theft Auto series. In 5 hours of, like, a 20 to 40-hour game. Just the way that they just are constantly... Like, in Grand Theft Auto, you play the entire game just so you can get the jetpack or the helicopter or the weird missions. In Saints Row, they just give you that stuff because they know that's what you want. They know that's the fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you get a helicopter pretty much right away. But then after that, you upgrade to a giant experimental jet fuel... jet that flies around and shoots thousands of rockets at once and destroys everything in sight and moves it like Mach 2. And I was 5 hours into the game. That kind of stuff just happens all the time. Like all the missions, who said this? Patrick Klepek, where he was like, Grand Theft Auto will do once in a while you do this weird mission that totally makes no sense and shouldn't even be in the game because it's nothing like the rest of the game. This game just, are side by side. It just stacks those are all the missions. They were the one other thing that's kind of a spoiler. You guys know about everyone knows about by now the Sublime's What I Got.
I still haven't seen it, but
it's awesome. I had to just circle the block a few times because I wanted to finish the song. But there's the best chase I've ever experienced in a video game, which is you are infiltrating, not really infiltrating, just like storming an S&M club to find. to find the pimp that everyone knows who speaks entirely in autotune.
Yes.
And after you save him, they're running up and there's like an S&M guy like attached to a rickshaw, and they get on the back of the rickshaw. They're like, go. And you're ready for this big chase scene. And the guy runs about as fast as a guy who is wrapped up in leather and tied to a rickshaw would run. And then the bad guys, instead of just killing you, they get on another guy tied to a rickshaw and chase you. The chase scene lasts for maybe 3 minutes and goes down the street. Like, you go outside and then just kind of roll like 50 yards down the street. But it's still this high, but they're acting like it's a high speed chase scene. Like, you're shooting the other guys. And then when you get to the end, the other guys who are just dudes tied to rickshaws explode. It's amazing. I only had it for the day. I borrowed it from work just to play it, and I'm most definitely going to be picking it up and finishing it. And maybe I might even buy the season pass and get all the DLC.
I've only played it like briefly in co-op, and I've played that first mission you're talking about, which is amazing. But I haven't had too much time to like actually run around and just cause mayhem, and or do that amazing chase sequence, which I'm now looking forward to greatly. But I have to say, like, I kind of get what you're saying. You kind of wish all open world games were like that. But I think the thing about
I didn't say that. I just want Grand Theft Auto to not be up its own butt all the time.
Well, I mean, it kind of used to be. I mean, it kind of used to not be like that. I mean, I think GTA 4 is the kind of is the game that kind of changed that and made things a bit more serious in tone.
No, I think it was before that.
Really, I think three and Vice City definitely were kind of ridiculous at times.
Yeah, maybe not San Andreas extent. Is the first one that started the whole "let's be a Tarantino movie," you know, let's be super serious about everything.
I think I like having both though. I think I want the Saints Row series to continue and be its own thing.
Oh sure.
But I also want the GTA series to continue and be its own thing that it kind of established with GTA 4 and San Andreas. So I mean, if GTA 4 went back to that, I mean, it would be fine. But I like that they're both they started out like Saints Row started out as such a blatant, I would say maybe not clone, but kind of it was
definitely
inspired.
Oh yeah, it did. Yeah, that's what it was. It was like oh, was True Crime.
Oh yeah, True Crime. I remember.
Yeah, it was just straight up trying to be like GTA.
Yeah, but it kind of extended into its own thing. It kind of went with the ridiculous nature that GTA established, but they went off in their own thing also. Yeah. So I like that both series are kind of exist, and you can turn to Saints Row if you want that kind of experience, but if you want a more serious experience, GTA will still be there. And I don't know, I kind of like that.
Remember also, when the first GTA had a fart button?
I have never played the first GTA.
There's a fart button in the first GTA.
Ah! I'm in the middle of the first spirit trial, and it is not fun.
Oh, I just left the first building. Like I'm just playing this game. Like I just turned it on. I've owned this game for 2 days, and I'm just playing it for the first time.
So, do we want to talk about Zelda now?
Wait, there's got to be something else I was playing.
Yeah,
I was
what? Oh, go ahead.
Monkey Island HD. Well, I played a bunch of stuff. I talked about Gemini Rue last week, didn't I?
Yeah.
Okay, I was playing Monkey Island HD, and it's I'm not crazy about the way most of the stuff looks in the HD update. I'm just talking about it because you mentioned it. But like you said, it includes the original graphics, and the music is awesome. But unfortunately, you can't mix and match them. You can't use the original music and the new graphics, or the new graphics, or the new music and the original graphics.
I kind of felt the same way. I would really like to see like the original version, but with the voice acting, or just with the new music. It's kind of a
shame. Oh yeah, the voice acting's really good too.
Yeah,
but you can't skip any of it. Like you got to listen to everything they say.
Do you? I remember being able to skip it.
I don't think so. I think you have to switch to the old thing to skip even just like one line of dialogue.
Hmm. Mm. I guess I'm mistaken then.
Probably wrong. It's fine.
All right. Well, I have been playing Super Mario 3D Land. Beat that game. We talked a little bit about it last time, but
everyone says after the halfway point, it gets much better.
I wouldn't say there's that dividing line in that way. But definitely I agree that it gets better the more you play it. There are really some interesting challenges. I think the reason people bring up that halfway point is that there's this level in World 5 of 8 that everyone seems to like. It's a top-down homage level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people kind of use that as a point of, you know, World 5, 3 on. Like, now it's really starting to do some interesting things. It is interesting. There are power-ups that you don't even see until after you beat the game and into the special levels, which is weird. But that's kind of cool. I don't think it's spoiling anything to say. Most people know at this point that there are 8 special worlds after you beat the 8 regular worlds. And it's basically remixed versions. It's kind of the Master Quest. It's basically the same levels, but they move some things around, put some enemies in different places, put different power-ups in places. So there are variations on the power-ups and things that it's really surprising to see that stuff after you've beaten the game. That's a really solid game.
So I'm guessing the special worlds are much more difficult also.
They're a little more difficult. it is one of those things where you probably want to find the right power up and, you know, pick up a power up and stock another power up going into those levels. Because often the ideal thing for the situation won't necessarily be in the item box right before you get to the situation, like it is in every other Mario game. But there are some interesting secrets, you know, there. For example, there's a world where you can unlock a secret area if you have fireballs, but there are no fireballs in that level.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know. There are some things they haven't really tried in that series, and I'm glad they're trying some new things. The 3D's awesome. You know, it feels like Mario. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where it doesn't wow anyone because it feels like you've played it before, but the fact that they pulled that off in that, like, pseudo 2D, 3D kind of perspective thing is impressive.
I can't remember if I asked this last week, but is this a game worth owning a 3DS for, just this game? Do you think this is a killer hit, a killer app game
thing?
You know, it's close. I'd say it's a must buy more than a system seller.
So if you already own a 3DS, it's kind of a no brainer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the first thing to really show off what it is that the 3DS does well. But, you know, I think it combined with a game you've really been looking forward to. Like, if you're the kind of guy who likes, say, Ghost Recon Shadow Wars, I'm going to mention that one more time, Mario Kart's coming out soon, if you really like Ocarina of Time, I mean, basically, if you can have it and something else, then I think that's a system seller. Uh-huh. It by itself, it's tougher to say, but I will say that there have been some really good deals the past week or so on the 3DS, and there will be going into Christmas. It's probably about time if you've been holding off, but you're still interested to pick it up.
Plus there's that. There are two bundles that just came out, the Zelda and the Mario bundle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those are good deals, too.
Yeah, they definitely are.
Is Luigi in it?
That's a spoiler.
Why is it a spoiler?
Yes, Luigi is in it. I'll say that.
Do you play as him?
He's the villain.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I would play that game.
If only.
He's
unlockable the way he was in the Galaxy games. And he controls similarly. He's a little slippery.
It's bullshit. You shouldn't be unlocked.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to play as Mario or Luigi? I want to play as Luigi.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I miss Super Mario 2 Luigi. I miss the...
jumping higher. Kicking
jumping higher. Yeah. I want to play as Toad.
Yeah. I want to play as Peach. Dude, Peach was the best in that game. She could fly.
Yeah. I just want new Super Mario Brothers Wii. Like, new Super Mario Brothers 2 Wii.
Yeah.
I want that. I want a four-player version of Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah, that always kind of pissed me off about Mario Brothers Wii, where they were like, we need two extra characters. Well, how about two Toads? All right. I guess. That's makes sense.
I love how they don't take the story seriously at all until they're like, wait, you can't be rescuing Peach and also be Peach. Well, why?
Is that really why?
Yes. They're like, you're rescuing Peach. If Peach was already with you. At that point,
they have other
put
princesses.
In Daisy or something.
Yeah, I was going to say, they have other princesses. Yeah. Come on.
Put in Pauline. No, don't put in Pauline.
Or Bowser.
That the one Pauline fan in the world just shed a single tear.
All right. On that note, let's go ahead and move to our main topic.
You guys.
Hollywood Crimes, right?
Zelda has dialogue options. What is up with that?
They're not really affecting.
You going Renegade or Paragon?
Yeah, I'm going to be Dark Link. Dick Link.
The origins of Dark Link.
I want to get that lightning.
Yeah, Link with nice scars on his face.
Yeah, that'd be so cool. I guess it's just Dark Side. So.
Remember to press in the right trigger to push the guy out the window.
Speaking of pushing out the window, man, Zelda was really annoying at the beginning of this game.
Really? I think Zelda was awesome at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
Her dad's awesome, though. Is your dad intentionally supposed to look like the boat from Wind Waker?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, because he totally does. Or I guess that is the king. I guess he's kind of the same character.
And he's named after the owl, so yeah.
Is he?
His name is Kipora, I think.
I don't think I've read his name
or
yet.
Kipora, one of the two.
My guy's name is Link. What's your guy's name?
Link.
Hey, this is the story to Avatar. they're explaining the bird thing. That's from Avatar. They're like, we're all the one half of a pair.
With
your
less
bird.
Of a bioorganic USB hookup, yeah.
Yeah, I don't put my ponytail into him.
that would be a weird Zelda game, though.
That'd be awesome.
I just have to run like hell, you serious?
I'd love if they made that somehow work with plugging the nunchuck into the remote.
Oh, man.
Plug in.
Oh, it's gonna piss me off forever that my Wii remote is gold and my nunchuck is white.
Just paint it gold.
That's I may as well, because this Wii remote kind of just feels like a Wii remote that they spray painted gold.
I got the GoldenEye Class Controller Pro, and it feels the same way. So.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I thought it had like a sheen to it, but I guess not.
No, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they offered a gold nunchuck as like a Club Nintendo reward or something.
They don't give us good rewards with Club Nintendo.
Oh, but they gave us the shirt
pins. Shoelaces? Come on.
They gave us a shirt. I got that.
I got a nice DS bag, and that's about it.
I got Game & Watch collection.
I got one of those DS bags, too.
I'm saving up for the actual Game & Watch. That's the one thing I want.
I would too, but I don't think... It's also tiny.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be much of a collectible because it's not an actual... If they were like, hey, we found a bunch of Game & Watches on eBay and decided to buy them for you guys.
I don't care. I have a bunch of coins that I'm not going to spend on anything else, so...
It's pretty cool.
I've been... When kids trade in DS games, I've been taking the... incentive with them. And I've just been getting a bunch of coins.
That's horrible.
That's not that horrible. It's a use. Sometimes I ask the customer that we trade in something, like, can I... Like, someone was trading in... Something in the Nightmare? Nights in the Nightmare for PSP? And it
you
comes with a free...
Victory Union?
Yeah, it comes with a free copy of Victory Union. I was like, can I have this? And the guy was like, yeah. And I brought it home and I got a free copy of Victory Union. I did that. Someone was trading in Portal 2 and I asked him for that code and I used that code and I got a free PC copy of Portal 2.
I did that all the time with games when I worked at Blockbuster with our rental copies.
Yeah.
I got three... I got 4 years of Xbox Live for free from... GTA 4.
Yeah, GTA 4 came with a free month.
Yes, and I got 3 years of Xbox Live out of it.
That's awesome. What is it? I think it's Modern Warfare comes with 3 days of Xbox Live.
Yeah, something like that.
Halo comes with 2 days, yeah.
Oh, 2 days. Let's get a bunch of those.
So, how about Zelda, right?
Right.
This game would be so pretty if... It weren't on the Wii. Like, I'm looking at how gorgeous it is.
I still think it looks great, though.
It looks amazing. But, like, someone said on Twitter that Zelda's the only game that came out this year and already needs an HD remake.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that's almost... Hey, she's going to push me off this sky
yes, she
island.
Is. Yes, yeah. She is. Get used to it.
this game, in the very first room in Link's bedroom... Just that room gives Link more personality than the entire series minus Wind Waker has. Like, just the affectations in that room.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for Wind Waker, which is the best Zelda.
Hmm.
Don't even argue with me, because it's a long Batman-level podcast.
Well, I'm pretty sure we made that consensus earlier this year.
Did we?
So,
it's a huge book haul one.
Personally, I'm in the Four Swords Adventures camp. There are four of
us. Who isn't? I mean, come on.
Everything that everyone's saying about this game, I said about Wind Waker when it came out, and it kind of upsets me.
I did too.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you did, but most people are, people are like, oh man, this game has a story, and Link's got personality, and the game is pretty, and has like kind of cel-shady, and I was like, what were you doing 8 years ago when Wind Waker came out? Or however long, 7 years ago? It was a while ago.
I remember a game that...
Zelda had cell shading. That's what they were doing.
See, yeah. I remember a good...
you know, a Zelda game, Link had a lot of personality. It was cel-shaded. It's for the CDI.
It's not cel-shaded, it's just cel-drawn. I can't wait to bomb some Dodongos.
My boy.
My boy Link, my boy. That's the real king of Hyrule.
Yeah.
That guy.
No, but I actually want to talk about Skyward Sword now, because I have things.
Fine.
Yeah. Are you finished it?
Oh, no, no. I haven't finished. I think I'm close, maybe. People have said this game has a lot of, like, false endings in a way. Like, you think, oh, man, okay, it's time for the end. Nope, here's this other thing. I haven't actually experienced that yet, but I am in the sixth dungeon, and I've heard there is at least one more, but I think there might be a lot of stuff in between those dungeons.
That's like Majora's Mask. It was always like, hey, the game's over, and I'm like, what? It happened like 50 times when I was playing it.
Yeah, no. But Justin, who wrote the review for us, that review is going live Monday. It should be up by the time you're listening to this. He made the point that Skyward Sword is probably the best Zelda game ever made,
mm-hmm.
plus about 10 hours worth of stuff you didn't need. But just really, it needed some editing. There's like why they put in fetch quests and things.
Well, the thing is, like,
Zelda's had fetch quests for a long time, though.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, it's kind of tradition, but at the same time, nothing I've done so far. Again, I haven't finished it yet, but nothing I've done so far has really felt like filler to me. But yeah.
Well, you haven't played Thrill Digger.
You don't have to play that, do you?
I know, but it's
you. Do you have to do something with Triforce Shards?
No, it's a money making game.
That's what you just said. It was also a thing that I've always said about Wind Waker, where that game, it would be a perfect game. Like, there would not be a single thing. Well, maybe like little things, but it would still be like a perfect game if it weren't for the Triforce Shards.
Yeah. Like,
that's the one thing holding that game. Like, I play that game. I play Wind Waker almost once a year. I'd say once every 2 years, and I would probably definitely play it once every year if it didn't have the Triforce Shards in it.
I've played it twice now, and I can understand why people didn't like that, but I thought it was fun because I got to sail around more, and sailing is the best mode of transportation in any Zelda game.
The flying's pretty good in this one.
The flying is really good, yeah, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I haven't done that yet.
I think the sailing is really nice. I've always liked that. I think the people who complained about it when that game first came out, I'm like, come on.
Let's quickly go around the horn and rank modes of transportation in Zelda games. Okay, so we got sailing.
Tanuki suit. You fly.
Zelda games.
What?
Zelda games.
Oh, Morph Ball.
No, so we got flying, we have sailing. We have trains. And we have horseback. Riding.
Horseback. Yeah.
And of course, just
walking.
Walking.
Oh, and the Pegasus boots in Link to the Past.
No, my all-time favorite method of transportation in Zelda is going to be rolling around as a Goron in Majora's Mask.
I think you'd say rolling like around as Link, because I do that too.
Yeah.
Hookshot.
Speaking of rolling, I kind of miss the rolling in Skyward Sword, although...
Yeah, it's really annoying.
Yeah, but I don't...
I was just about to bring that up. I was trying to do it, and I couldn't figure out how, and now I know it's not in the game.
It's not in the game. You just have the dash instead.
But he has a dash now, which is...
Yeah.
Instead of making you believe you're going faster with the rolling, you actually go faster.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the rolling, every time you watch someone play... When the day I brought home Twilight Princess, after I had sat in front of Best Buy in a tent for 2 nights and 2 days, that happens for the Wii, I brought it home and I was playing it, and my grandparents were watching me play it, and they were like, who's that? And I was like, it's Link. And they're like, why does he keep falling down? And I said, he's rolling. And they're like, why? And I said, because he moves faster. And they're like, why? And I was like, I don't know. It just, it's always been that way. And I don't think it's true.
Science.
Does he actually move faster? Yeah, just because of science. Because he's like science.
You know, I've never been able to figure that out. But I just
he moves faster and then
less surface area, less wind resistance.
Okay, I believe it. I'll take it.
I think
this game still has save points. How crappy is that? Does it end up being really annoying?
But in the other, this is the first game that actually had save points. Every other Zelda game before this just let you save wherever you wanted. But I don't mind it. So it's kind of
really
like
do games still have, like, what's a game that still has save points? That's not an RPG.
Skyward
Sword. Isn't that kind of antiquated?
for the most part. Yeah, for the most part. But I mean, it is weird that in every Zelda game before this one, you could save wherever you wanted, which is something that games are just starting to do.
Whoa, I just rolled.
And then,
how did I do that? I did it.
You were running and then you shook the nunchuck.
Yeah.
Is that what happened? Yeah, I can roll. I'm rolling all up.
But it's kind of annoying. You only need to do it every once in a while.
You need to hit trees.
Do I upgrade my stamina eventually?
Nope. I haven't found that yet, but I haven't finished the game.
It gets tired real quick.
Yeah, there are stamina potions you can drink that let your stamina drain much slower, and it's pretty nice to have some of those.
Hey, I can play in first person.
I think the stamina is a really interesting. Like, I didn't think it would be that big of a deal. Like, I'd just be like, oh, you can run now, and there's stamina. But it's like almost everything you do, kind of involves that stamina meter, which is.
I'm sure they're gonna like. There's gonna be some part where I'm running and I have to hit every stamina fruit on the way there or something, right?
Just about.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. As soon as I saw stamina fruit, I was like, oh, I can't wait until that's a mini game.
Like when you're climbing vines and stuff and you're hanging on ledges, you need to use
stamina. Running uphill in the desert.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should train with Nathan Drake. Get some of that fixed.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if in some ways the Zelda series is hurt a bit by all these additions, making it more complex.
Well,
I don't know, because they always tend to simplify some other stuff.
The thing is, they have a lot of additions, but like you can upgrade your stuff now. You can upgrade your shield and some of your equipment. But a lot of the upgrades, like the shield upgrades, don't waste your time doing those. Don't waste your time, because by the time I upgraded one of my shields, it was the second shield you can buy. I upgraded it, and then I turned around to the shopkeeper who was sitting right there, and he had a new shield to buy. I'm just like, oh, come on. And
that I
need to buy that shield right now.
it's a great shield, because it, yeah. Yeah.
Well, now, as I understand it, you sometimes need to go back to older shields that they're more effective in certain situations.
If you fully upgrade the last shield, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, there's eventually. I've heard you get it. You get the traditional Zelda Hyrule shield that just doesn't break.
Well, that looks like a fully upgraded path for the third shield here.
Is it a mirror shield?
No mirror shield.
Oh.
Tell you what, I missed the sword skills from Twilight Princess. Those are some fun.
One of the not forgettable parts of Twilight Princess. I remember really liking Twilight Princess when it came out, and now I really can't remember much about it.
It's because it was so much like Ocarina of Time that it might as well have been the same game.
Yeah. I also kind of feel that way about Ocarina of Time. There's a lot
I played it. I was gonna say, I think Ocarina of Time is still one of my least favorite Zelda games, but I love Twilight Princess, so I don't know. I also didn't play Ocarina of Time when it first came out, so I played Majora's Mask first, and then went back to Ocarina of Time. I was like, man, this is kind of boring, so I don't know. But I just want to say that, like, speaking on them adding too many new things, I think this is still a very Zelda-like Zelda game. There are some new stuff, and it changes things up a bit, but. There's still lots of Zelda stuff. You know, you still go to different dungeons. You have to find keys. You have to find maps in dungeons. You have a lot of the same equipment. Although this is the first Zelda game, I think, that doesn't have a boomerang, which is weird. But you get a boomerang equivalent.
Yeah, I remember people saying that, yeah.
I mean, I guess the scarab kind of replaces that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the boomerang equivalent. Although it's nice to be able to control it directly.
I'd be a lot happier controlling it directly if I could use the C-stick instead of the Wii remote for it.
You know, I don't mind that as much. Like, do you not like the controlling the bird that way too when you fly?
A little bit, but it's that I'm more or less used to. It just seems like it's unnecessary to have my little remote control flying thing not be used by the remote control type device in my hand.
Yeah, I understand. I haven't had much trouble with it. I think the only thing I've had regarding the motion controls is when I'm diving, because sometimes
diving is such a pain.
Yeah, I sometimes I'm tilting the Wiimote slightly back when I dive, and I don't realize I have direct control right away, and Link just goes way far back, and then I have to call my bird again and get it right to the right position. It's kind of a thing.
Where the heck do I find bird feathers?
I've already had some trouble with the motion. Like, I couldn't figure out how to make the barrel roll instead of that barrel roll. I couldn't figure out how to barrel roll. Yeah, I couldn't figure out how to barrel roll.
Twice.
Because it said point the Wiimote down and, like, push it like I'm rolling a barrel. Yeah. It didn't work. I couldn't get it to happen.
I don't think you can actually roll those big. The barrels that are in the dormitory, I don't think you can actually roll.
But he told me to do it.
I know. He also said don't do it or it'll break.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, because I smashed all of them just now. After I did that quest, I went back and I picked up one of the things. He was like, whoa! Like, he like put his hands up. Like, what are you doing? And I smashed all of them and he flipped out after every one. It was awesome. He was like, oh! Ah. And like, on the
break
topic,
a chandelier.
Can I do that?
I'm going to do when that. There's an inn you can find. That's not on the main island.
Pumpkin Landing, yeah.
Yeah, the Lumpy Pumpkin.
Oh, Lumpy Pumpkin, yeah.
Yeah. There's a heart piece up in the chandelier. And they say,
okay, yeah, I'm rolling a vase around now. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Matt, you really should have just done a service to him and put a bucket on his head first.
Well, rolling him was cool, because I thought he was going to, like, push it, but he bowls it.
Yeah. That's a useful skill.
Yeah, I love the way you throw and roll bombs in this game, too. That's really cool.
Yeah. But on the topic of this feeling like a Zelda game, I feel like just from this opening part, it's like a mashup of every Zelda game. Like, I've seen bits where they're trying to reference, like, there are characters who look straight out of Wind Waker, and there are characters who look straight out of Ocarina and Twilight Princess, mm-hmm. and there's the whole, like, cel-shady, the painterly kind of thing about the visuals, mm-hmm. and then even just, like, the way that Link looks. Like, he looks like the design from Wind Waker with an Ocarina filter on him, in a way. I guess Link kind of always looks exactly the same, but...
Yeah, it's
but
a nice
like, yeah, like it's weird to see a character who looks like they're from one Zelda standing next to a character who looks like they're from Wind Waker, and they do not look like they're from the same planet.
I think the character design is both great and horrifying, because there are certain characters you'll meet, like the fortune teller, who just...
God, that guy's frightening.
Yeah, he's
especially
just...
when you realize he's a guy.
Or the shop, or the shopkeeper.
He
you
has
know.
A little mustache. How could you not realize he's a guy?
Well, it could be thick lips until he comes in close.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, he's I can actually... see that. But I think. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Nothing.
Gruus's goons are kind of creepy too.
Oh yeah. Gruus himself is kind of creepy.
Yeah, he's Biff Tannen.
Are they called Biff Tannen?
Yeah, that's awesome. Actually what Nintendo Power called him, was the Skyloss Biff Tannen.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Hello, Link. Oh, I should name my guy McFly. I should name him Zelda. I always think it's funny to name a
manure.
Character.
Manure. I hate manure.
I met that guy.
I think I want to talk about the dungeons, because the dungeons so far I've loved every one of them, and I'm in the sixth one right now, and none of them have really let me down. Like I think every Zelda game has at least one dungeon that's kind of meh. It's just kind of like I really want to get out of here and just finish this dungeon. But every dungeon so far felt great to me.
So it's the next one.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I think the next dungeon might be the last one, so we'll see. Maybe that one will be the annoying one, I guess.
I think the reason everyone likes Wind Waker is because they cut the annoying dungeon.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think the
like,
dungeons.
Nope, not that one. That one.
I was gonna say, and then they gave you stealth missions, but there's stealth missions in this one too. There were...
Yeah, but the stealth missions in Wind Waker are good.
Yeah.
Are they good in this one?
I've just done the one. It's interesting.
I've done three of those. So like I think it's around the halfway point in the game. Maybe
yeah.
I think it's a huge turning point in the story. And then you have to do these kind of stealth like missions, and they can be really stressful. Like,
yeah, that sound I made earlier when I was just really really upset. I had 12 of the tears and died.
That's the worst. I've actually had like finding the last one was always I've done three of them, and I've always had trouble finding the last one.
Fortunately, the ones you do find show up on your map, so that's convenient.
Oh yeah, that's nice. But yeah, there are sections in the game like around the halfway point or so where it gets. I'm not sure. I still haven't decided if I actually like them or not. I think I might have just done the last one.
Yeah, I think there's only three.
Yeah, because unless there's one more they're gonna surprise me with, I don't know. Who knows with Zelda? But they're interesting. They're definitely different. They mix things up. But I'm not sure if I like them entirely. I have to think about it more. But they're like really stressful because. I don't want to get into spoilers, but you'll just be stressed out thinking there are things following you and right behind you when you thought you got away from them, and then
you step in some water and all hell breaks
loose. Yeah, everything goes to shit, and then
I'm meeting Gruus. His eyes are freaking me out.
Wait until Zelda shows up and starts talking to him, and he makes the weirdest face he ever makes in the entire game.
There's a funny picture online. There's that picture that everyone posts of Gaston from Beauty and the Beast looking at the book that Belle was reading and like just holding it up like, oh, a book. And they photoshopped it into Gruson Zelda. And it's really funny. Because Gaston's a real hero of Beauty and the Beast. And I'm probably going to feel the way about Gruce after this game.
So, so everyone who's played it, motion controls, yay or nay?
Mostly yay.
Yeah, I haven't played enough of it.
Makes it much more strategic than it used to be. Oh, yeah. Like when you fight those laser towers in the third temple, that took some work.
Those are the things that you could never destroy in every Zelda game up to this point, and now you can destroy them. Those ones with the eyeballs that circle around and shoot lasers at you. This is the first game where you can destroy those, and I'm so excited about that.
Tell you, the first time I died in this game, though, was to trying to figure out how to beat a stupid Sculptula, because I was thrusting
too fast. Those are the spiders, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, one of those killed me, too.
The thrusts are really sensitive in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys feel like there's anything just overly gimmicky in this game that will not age well? Well, I'm saying of the motion controls.
The motion controls.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, there's a couple of things that involve you like manipulating the controller in such a way. Yeah, that was really
I just found a much easier way to kill those golden Deku leaves.
Oh, yeah?
The ones that open vertically or horizontally. Hang back and throw them a bomb. They'll catch it.
There are sections where you're like moving the Wiimote to fly and stuff, and some of those can be a little annoying.
Yeah,
and I've had some trouble with, actually, believe it or not. You think the thing that's easiest to do in the game is the aiming, but like sometimes you'll be off center and you can center it, but sometimes I'll center it wrong, and then I'll be off center even more. And when you're in the middle of like a really tough section, it can be kind of tricky when you need to aim at something like with a particular Zelda item that's in every Zelda game. But
looking forward to getting that sometime too.
Where are you again? Oh, you just
I just finished the first stealth thing, so I got to find the temple that goes.
Okay, so you'll get it in the fifth dungeon. If that's I don't know if that's much
the one after this one.
Yeah,
that's fine.
But it's
hey,
it's
I'm enjoying the things along the way, like the upgrading the scarab. That was fun.
Oh yeah.
And getting the Dustbuster from Hell, that was fun.
That thing is awesome.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've only played a little bit of the game, but to me, what seemed the most awkward was the Scarab controls.
It is.
They do take getting used to, yeah.
Yeah. It just seems like they're really sensitive.
That thing's pretty fragile. There are certain things where you'll have to, like, you'll eventually get an upgrade for that, and you'll have to use it to carry bombs. And
awesome. Get these enemies that are lurking out of reach and just freaking dive bomb them.
during those parts where you actually have to use that function, it can be a little annoying because you touch anything with that bomb and it'll explode, and then the thing will have to go back to where you are.
Especially since they like putting the bombs in pillars that have little posts on them.
Yeah.
These fat like that. Ones are really.
But I think the general sword controls and also the shield. I love using the shield to hit things back. I think that's awesome. And it's not really utilized all that much.
Just
outside
of a couple different
kinds of enemies, but it's really
neat. Break my shield? Holy crap! That thing is tough.
But
and not equip the shield. I didn't equip the shield. See, that's a new thing. That's annoying.
Oh yeah, you have to equip a shield. There was a point where I thought my shield broke and I actually just didn't equip it. I didn't realize
just
it.
Like right now.
Yes, that was that point. Just then.
Yeah.
Link's walk animation is kind of like robotic and bland, but everything else he does looks awesome.
You saying they didn't do mocap for him?
Like the one thing you do the most doesn't look cool. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I guess I haven't really paid much attention to
it's
that.
It's like a puppet. Like his hands stay in the same place. It looks like an art mannequin.
Should have gotten Andy Serkis in there.
I think it's just fun to have the sword out all the time and just running with the sword like an idiot. It's just like
waving
Link
it around in front of you.
A sword. He doesn't know what to do with it. He's just running.
I'll say one thing that's really awkward is not having the B button be put your sword away, which I think was because I keep pulling out like my bomb or my beater or whatever when I'm trying to put my sword away, and it's a little off. I just haven't gotten used to A as cancel.
Yeah, that takes a little getting used to.
Someone just called me over to somewhere, and I don't know where they were. That's annoying.
They're teaching you about Z-targeting. It happens.
No, not him. Someone yelled something, and I was talking to you guys, and I didn't read it. Because someone told me to go up to this sky goddess statue.
Yep.
And on my way there, someone was like, hey, Link, come hang out with us. And I was like, I'm actually kind of saving the world. Oh, I just jumped off the island. Oh, crap.
Fortunately, there's a loyal helpful
knight. I think, I want to talk about the bosses without getting into any spoilers or specifics. Mm-hmm. Outside of two bosses that I can think of so far, they've all been really good. I think the first boss, I hated the first boss.
The first boss was kind of a pain in the ass.
It's not that because he was tough, but
felt like he was a boss you were supposed to lose to, but Zelda doesn't actually have those.
Yeah, you think the first major boss of the game would be a pushover, but it's not. Like I think at this point in the game, he's still the toughest boss, the first boss. So,
I didn't have that many trouble. I mean, it took me a while to figure out how to beat the second one because I thought I just had to like bomb him to death. So I got to the top of the ramp.
Yeah,
the fireball one. I got to the top of the ramp. He kept walking up and blowing up on the bomb flowers that grew up on him. Like I just sat there for 5 minutes watching him climb up and roll back down. I was like, huh, I don't think this is what I need to do.
I actually really like that boss. That's still one of my favorites. But the first boss, it's at that once you get to the first dungeon, and then especially once you get to the first boss, they're basically like at this point, you need to either understand these motion controls and how they work and the strategies to defeat enemies with them, or else we're just going to kick your ass with this boss. And it took me so long to finally get used to it. But once you get through that boss, it's like smooth sailing. Like none of the enemies ever really like. It gets to the point where once you get past that. It's almost too easy. I mean, aside from certain sections of the game, I think it goes back to Zelda's always kind of been an easy series outside of a few games here and there. And I mean, I don't have a problem with that personally, but I think some people might. The biggest challenge is getting over the hump of those motion controls, like trying to figure out when you need to attack and how you need to attack with the different sword movements and stuff. But you know, once you get through the first dungeon, it's generally like they introduce new enemies, but a lot of them are just stronger versions of the enemies you fought before, or enemies that are kind of obvious in the way you have to defeat them. So I think, in a way, I wasn't expecting a real challenge. Like when I go into a Zelda game, I never really expect it to be that difficult. But again, I personally don't mind it. Some people might.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up, guys. Mm-hmm. To all our listeners, we're going back to a regular schedule, so our next episode will be December 13th, when we'll talk about holiday things and Mario Kart and maybe Fortune Street, too. We'll see what happens. But that wraps it up for this episode. For Matt, Sean, Andrew, and Chris, I'm Graham. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter at snackbargames.